hear an awful lot from people these days talking about getting back to the normal. Oh, I need to get back to normal in lots of different ways. And I want to ask a question of you. And it's not a hypothetical one, it's a really serious question that I want you to think about. Is there something, anything that you are waiting to happen, to fall into place, some pieces that will just drop into the right places so that you can get to a place where you can get on with things you want to get on with, so that you can get back to a different kind of normal? For example, you're waiting for COVID to go away so that like visiting people, you can go back to the garden centers a bit more freely, get out and about a little more. You're waiting till it feels less pressured with this illness spreading around the country and we can forget about it. Are you waiting for things in the Ukraine to sort themselves out so that the concerns over inflation and fuel prices and how we're going to pay for the heating next winter and all of those things so that we can just get back to normal? Perhaps you're waiting for a family relationship to heal itself, for maybe someone to get in touch who you've not heard from, for something to happen whereby you can just get back on again with people that you've maybe fallen out of relationship or people have not been in touch with you. Perhaps you're waiting for a resolution to a medical situation. And you're desperate to get it just sorted out so that you can get on again and get back to doing the things you've done before. For many people, they are waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for this to happen, for that to be diagnosed or organized, for these people to come back to us with this information or that information, for things to be right so that we can feel a bit stronger, maybe for a time to come when we're feeling better about ourselves, feeling a bit more ourselves, then we'll be able to get on and life will start operating as we want it to. For many Christians, I wonder if they're just waiting for the busyness of life, for this. The complexity of all the stuff that is going on around them, whether it's a medical thing, a family situation, just waiting for all that stuff to kind of clear itself up. Then I'm going to get my relationship back with God. I'm going to start getting involved with the church again, like I really know I ought to. My prayer times are going to be brilliant and I'll start reading God's word. I just need these things to be organized first. Does any of that resonate? And ring a bell. Wonder if that's you. I wonder if that is perhaps all of us in one way or another. And if it is, I want to challenge that because I believe God wants to speak into that in these challenging days. And I want to do so in a way that encourages you to see who God is and what He's got for you to gain new perspective. So that we can look again at those things that we think need to happen before we can get on. And we can begin to think maybe it's not next year or even next month it needs to happen. That maybe we can think about today and what's going on right now and get on with this life now. Because that's the message of the Bible. To get on with this day that God has given to us, to see what's possible with what's right in front of us, and to do that right now. And that was the thrust of the passage that was read to us from Jeremiah. Jeremiah's writing a letter to people who are in circumstances that are more horrific than probably almost anything you can imagine, but that have great parallels to what we've seen on our TV screens in the last couple of weeks. The people of Israel are now in exile, or at least a large portion of them, in another nation. They've been taken captive in exile in Babylon. So it's written sometime after the year 586. So let me just give you the context of it. You know that at the end of Solomon's reign, the nation of Israel was divided into two, the northern kingdom in the north, and then the southern kingdom of Judah. They both had kings. The kings led them in various different ways. Most of them were not great. And the people stopped listening to the prophets. They stopped listening to God. They rebelled. And about 120 years or so before these events happened that we're reading about today, the northern kingdom of Israel was overtaken. They were conquered by the Assyrians. And those nations, those tribes were taken. They're gone. But all of that is about 120 years earlier. Since then, the nation of the southern kingdom of Judah has continued with kings of varying degrees of goodness and leadership that was sometimes for God and sometimes very much against. And now we've come to this period where they've started to rebel, and it's time for God to teach them a lesson too. And now King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon has come down, and he's conquered. He's surrounded Jerusalem. He's conquered the nation, and he's taken all of the leaders, the elders, the royal family, those who were administrators who had skills, and they've all been taken into captivity in Babylon. Amongst them are people that we know well from Scripture, people like Ezekiel, Daniel. They're in captivity. But some are left behind, including Jeremiah. God has caused him to stay in Jerusalem, and that's where he is writing from, a city in ruins, a people disbanded, a nation that's really no more. And he's writing to people who are in another land. But there'd been some who'd been stirring things up to the exiles and saying to them, Nebuchadnezzar's finished. It's all about to end. You can go home. We should be planning to go home. And in this letter, Jeremiah says to them, that is not from God. Don't be thinking about getting back to the way things have been. Actually, he had a very different message, which was not a message that they wanted to hear or were comfortable hearing. And his message was this: right where you are, just as things are, that's where I want you to get on with life right now. That's the message that God asked Jeremiah to pass on. This, right where you are, is precisely where life needs to begin. So verse 5, he tells them, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. So you can see he's thinking generations ahead. He's not thinking just for the next few days, get by. He's not saying for a little while, cope with this. He's looking a long term. He's saying, get on with life right where you are today. He says, increase in number there, do not decrease. Do you get the sense he's saying to them that they are to prosper right where they are, even though things are not ideal? I wonder whether you can remember back to when we first went into lockdown and the government initially said 12 weeks 2 years ago. 12 weeks. And we started to produce this magazine to try and help us through it. And one of the things that I said to you, I think in the first or second magazine, was that I truly believe God did not want us to just survive, but to thrive. That's been the message that has come to us throughout this time, where we are, as we are, to thrive and not just get by and survive. That's the message God is giving to these people. He's telling them to get on with life right now, even in these less than ideal circumstances where they find themselves. And I've been prompted about this. I've been wanting to say something about this for a long time, but I've been prompted this week as we've seen again lines and lines of people fleeing another country, going into exile. In their case, not as captives, but in their case, running away from conflict, trying to keep their children safe. But one of the messages that has come back again and again is, if you've listened to their testimony, is, but we're coming back. Ukraine is our home, and we are coming back. And I imagine that's just how the people of Israel felt. Add to that the prophets who were falsely saying, oh, it's all about to end. We can go back soon. And that longing for them was being countered by this letter. And Jeremiah said, no, this is not about what you might want to see happening. Look for where God is placing you, and in this place, prosper. And actually, in verse 10, he tells them how long this is going to be. It's going to be 70 years in Babylon. 70 years. As I was thinking about that this week, it struck me. Have you noticed how the Bible describes the lifespan of a human being? If you go back to Psalm 90 in the King James Version, we talk about 70 years and 10. 70 years. That's the way the Bible just simply exemplifies the lifespan of a person. Isn't it interesting that God is saying through Jeremiah, you're going to be here for a lifespan. You're going to be here a lifetime. That's all that God gives to us. He gives us this life. And it might not be the ideal. It might not be everything we want it to be, but he invites us to get on in this life. I was reminding you of another verse in John's Gospel where Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he's saying to them, in this life, you will have difficulty. He didn't say it might be that occasionally something's not so good and you have a couple of bad days, but don't worry, positive thinking, prosperity gospel, everything's going to be perfect. He wasn't saying that. In this life, it is an absolute guarantee things are going to be tough. He wasn't saying that we should be always expecting life to be simple and straightforward. God's plan for us is not to give us a life in cotton wool. It is that we live the days that we have with whatever our circumstances may be. It's not that there is life, the perfect life, and then guess what? It's rotten luck, but the COVID comes along. And then we have to deal with that for a couple of years, but don't worry, we'll soon get back to life. No, there's just life. And COVID's part of it. It's not that there's a perfect life in the Ukraine and then there's a Russian invasion and suddenly all changes. And we've got to get back to that. There is actually just life, and in it there is conflict in almost every nation in the world. It's not that there is wonderful life and then suddenly we realize there is perhaps a problem of global warming and everything has to stop. Actually, there's just life and there's the consequences of this broken world. And God invites us to just get on with life. And it's not that there is life and then unfortunately the rotten luck again, but you get old age and ailments and medical issues. But we can get back, surely, can't we? Get these things sorted and get back to the way things used to be. No, there is just life. And old age and worn out joints and all the problems that make my knees ache as much as yours probably do are just a part of life. And God invites us to get on with it with him and prosper in it as we are. Where we are. It's interesting as I listen to people praying, because so often our prayers are full. We seem to be obsessed with asking God to take away things from us, to change things from us. We plead with God to remove things. I wonder whether we should be wiser in the prayers that we offer to God, and at times help it, seek his help for us to be knowing him, to walk with him as we go through the issues that we face. We say, Lord, change this, remove this, I don't want this, bring us back to this. Sound familiar? But that's not always what God asks us to do. Do you remember the prophet Hosea? He was one of the minor prophets. Actually, we talk about him very little. And one of the reasons, I think, is that his life story is so uncomfortable. Basically, God said to him, find a wife, but she is going to be unfaithful to you. And she was. He had a number of children in his family, but actually, they weren't all his. His wife had a reputation. But God called him to remain with her, to love her. Actually, he was intended to be a living example, a living prophetic example of God's love to the nation of Israel, even with all its unfaithfulness. Can you imagine what would have happened if Hosea would say, no, Lord, this is disgusting. She's appalling. Take her away from me. It's not acceptable. Where would that example be if he hadn't taken the difficult choices and done what God asked him to deal with? Where would it be if God had taken the easy choice and just removed his people? What a good job he didn't pray, Lord, take this all away. I wonder whether you've ever thought to yourself, I wonder whether some of the things I'm going through, horrible though they are simply what God is asking me to go through right now. In fact, let's make that question, that comment, even more uncomfortable. Sometimes that God actually leads us through these things. Let me read to you verse 4 again. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who took them there? God did. Not Nebuchadnezzar. God took them there. We'll read it again in the end of these, in the end of the chapter. God's impact, God's involvement in this. This was the life that God had given them. And in their case, it was because of rebellion that they found themselves in Babylon. Don't miss here. I'm not suggesting it's because of our wrongdoing that we go through all the difficulties that we have, though sometimes it is the consequence of what we've done. Sometimes it's the consequence of the broken world we live in. But I wonder whether that should make us wonder what we should be praying for the situation in Ukraine and Russia. God doesn't call us to pray for example, regime change. We may have our own ideas about what we want to see happen, but I wonder what God actually wants us to pray for. I'm really glad that this week, as we've been praying, our hearts have been primarily focusing on those who have been suffering. We pray, Lord, protect the vulnerable, protect those who need your protection at this stage. It's not our place to try to work out how the jigsaws of a geopolitical conflict will work themselves out. That is way, way, way above my spiritual pay grade. I can't begin. But rather, I wonder whether we should be seeking God's purposes as we are praying. Seeking, as we've said, to pray for people's comfort in the trials that they go through. Sometimes what we face is really difficult. It is painful stuff that we wouldn't wish on anybody. It's so far from ideal. Yet it is not a reason to stop living. It's not a reason to start cutting ourselves off from the things that God would call us to do, to wait until days get better. Do you know, you've only got the guarantee of this day. We don't know what days we have in this life. Rather, could we say, when we wake up in the morning, Lord, what do you want to do with us today? Psalm 118 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Another prompt from me bringing this message to you is the words I heard from a lady, I think about a week ago, who was at the very front lines of the conflict in Ukraine. I think she might have been a medic, but I can't remember. Listen to so many testimonies. She might have been a medic helping soldiers on the front line. And she was asked the question, what are you going to do? What's the future going to bring for you? And she said, I have no idea. She said, I'm not thinking a week ahead. I'm not even thinking day to day. We are thinking and operating hour by hour. That really made me think. That was getting on with this day, no matter what its challenges are, living hour to hour. What about you? Are you waiting, if I can use the terminology of those who seek to see things in signs, for the planets to align themselves? And then when all these things fall into place, then you're going to do what you know you need to be getting on with and doing, living. Or are you going to say, Lord, what do you have for me today, right now? I want to mention two other things very briefly from this passage that will help that bigger picture be a much more comfortable prospect for you. And the first thing is this, thinking about the future. Do you notice? I wonder whether you are like most of us. We get anxious about the future. We stress, what is it going to be? What's it going to be like? What are the fuel prices going to be when we have to pay for fuel getting through the next winter? Boy, we're looking so far ahead, don't we? We worry about these things. What am I going to be able to do in a few months' time? How am I going to cope with? And that's how we are. One of the most famous verses in the Old Testament is in this passage that reminds us to trust that God has a plan and we can trust in him for it. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's what I started this service off, thinking about that attitude my dad always had. Whatever was going on in life, he was just looking forward to glory. When he was in hospital and the doctor said, there's no way to treat you, he just turned around to them and said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be in heaven with God. I'm not worried in the least. I wonder whether we have that trust of God. First, the bigger picture of what God has done that we will be thinking about in glory. But in this case, Jeremiah actually said, God has specific plans to bring you back. Do we trust in God's timing? I want to encourage you. God is sovereign. The world is not out of control. It is all in God's hands, and we can trust him. Yes, these people are in a foreign land. They're in captivity. But he's saying to them, get on with life now. Build your houses, plant your crops, enjoy this life, be blessed in it. Marry, give your children in marriage. Do it now, because you can trust me. So that's the first part, trusting God's sovereignty. But the second brief point I want to make is this, because there's more. It comes to understanding who we are, who it is that God is saying do these things. Remember, they are God's people. You are God's people, which means God has more for you than we often imagine and take on board. He's saying to them, get on and do these things. Build your houses, plant your crops. But he's not saying do it for your benefit. Come on, build your portfolio up. Build your assets. Get more so that you'll be much better off in the future. He's not thinking about them doing these to meet their own ends for their own sake. Verse 7, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. He wants them to prosper right where they are, but he wants them to do so so that they can be the people God's called them to be. Remember, they are a nation of priests, a holy nation. And that same verse applies to us. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood belonging to God. What does he want them to do? He wants them to be a blessing to the nation around them. And when we are in our difficulties, God wants us to be a blessing to the people around them. In a hospital bed, he wanted my dad to bless the nursing staff, to speak well to them, to encourage them, not to whine to them. He wants us in the circumstances that we live in, that we go through, to be able to testify about the difficulties we face, to be able to be faithful, because that is seen. That's the priestly role, to be a blessing in these circumstances. So I want to encourage you, don't be thinking of just coping until things work through. I want to encourage you to do what God encourages people here, to get on with life now. Whatever you can do, look to the blessings. Don't hunker down in your bunker at home until one day you might be in glory. Live today. Second, trust God. He is sovereign, and you can trust him with your future, with your plans. And third, seek to be a blessing in all of those difficulties you find yourself in today. Bless somebody, make someone's day better, testify to them. Your health might not be the best. Your finances may not be secure. There may be circumstances around you and relationships which are far from perfect. But God doesn't ask you to bring to this life what you don't have. He asks you to bring just what you have, what's right there in front of you. So I want to encourage you, trust him with it, and let's be a people who can bless those around us. Get on with life for God's kingdom's sake. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the life that you have given to us. Thank you for the blessings that come and are new every morning. Open our eyes to see it. Open our eyes to be part of it. Lord, forgive us when we put ourselves in the bunker. Help us to get out. Help us to see what and who you want us to be today, we pray. And help us to get alongside those who are struggling to see their place in your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Let's sing again, shall we, as we prepare ourselves for communion.